A Shishkin Productions podcast.
What's up, Sizzlers? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel podcast.
What's up? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow.
We got a special guest with us. What's up?
Hello.
It's Amy. She's back.
I'm here.
What's up, Amy?
Told you can't get rid of me.
Chris, what do you think's happening on this show today?
Well, I believe that this is part one of the What We Learned Last Year special. This is going to be a two-parter, and we're just going to, it's basically a clip show. We're doing our first clip show because I'm going to be in Europe for the next 2 weeks. You know, this just makes it easier.
Yeah, and we get to basically take a whole month off of recording. It's going to be great. Yeah. Our first vacation. We work hard. And this is, we deserve a vacation.
I mean, yeah, we've been going for, what, 2.5 years on this without a vacation?
Non-stop.
Never been late.
This first segment is going to be really, 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 really short because basically you're going to hear all the What We Learned Last Year, last week. So it's going to be called What We Learned Last Year, Part 1. Real quick, where can the people find us?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Please send us an email.
Yeah.
Follow us on TikTok, Shishkin Productions, Instagram as well. And of course, we have the Sizzle Reel
Cold Line.
You can call or text it.
Text it.
Definitely
or
text
call
it.
Or call it. But if you text it, that's cool too.
Yeah.
Both.
We pay $10 a month for it. So
you've got
you know.
A couple weeks to text because I'm not going to look at these until February 20th.
Yeah. So. Get them all in.
Yeah.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in, text in, do whatever you want. I'm not telling you what to do, but do whatever you want.
Okay.
More importantly, come to Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
Come to Tree Fort because Sizzle Reel is going to be live.
Yep. Our second live show.
So exciting.
We're going to be sharing the stage with real podcasters.
Well,
at least you won't be sharing the stage with a shitty play.
Oh, my God. A stupid fucking bird.
We'll at least be on the stage at some point in the same weekend as the real podcasters. But should we do another Power Hour? I don't know.
I feel like that's not a great idea.
It would be fun.
It would be fun, but would they even allow it?
Why not?
Good point.
Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. TBD. But sometime in March, we're going to be in Idaho. So come to Idaho and watch us. that's all the details I got. Chris, what did you want to do? Did you want to talk about one thing or did you want to do a What We Learned Last Week for each of us and then just get into the stuff?
I figured we could briefly talk about one thing.
Okay.
I guess.
Good, because I didn't learn anything last week.
I learned about Amy's diet.
Oh, wow.
We'll save that for the next episode. Next episode, Amy will walk you through everything she ate today. It's hilarious.
We can talk about... New York is trying to expand the film tax credit to $700 million, up from $420 million. Nice. $420 million is also what California does, so that would give us a little bit of an advantage.
Ooh.
And then I think Georgia is in the like a little over $1 billion in tax credits.
Makes sense.
So you know, first it has to go through.
So it just means they would be filming more movies here?
That's the idea. And I think that they get a bonus for relocating a series if it's been filmed, if there's been like at least 6 episodes filmed in a different state. And I think there's like $1 million per episode minimum that they would have to spend. But I mean, ultimately, it would mean more jobs in this industry coming to New York, right?
Yeah.
So it's got to be a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We do have a housing crisis, so maybe they can all move to Jersey.
Oh, my God. I know they will.
I wonder, it doesn't really mean anything for us, though. You know, like, we're not going to get any of those jobs. It would be tight, but, like...
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's still exciting, though, because it would, you know, put us...
Put more movies here and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, anything to...
And put us at number two, then, I guess, for the country, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, anything that... TV and film is mostly in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a lot of work here, but I feel like it's more digital work here.
Yeah.
Anytime there's more creatives in your space, that's going to be a boon for the industry.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think it would, there's also like a trickle down potential, you know, like if more things are being filmed here, then companies are either going to move here or open up you know, branches here, mm-hmm. and then that would just open up more possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, we've already kind of seen it happen with Netflix. They have a giant studio 2 blocks from here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. We'll just see what happens. I feel like it just doesn't affect us really directly ever.
It's cool. It's not direct.
But who knows? Maybe one day we can work on some real show or something like that.
Yeah.
But maybe Sizzle Reel will become a sitcom. Sizzle Reel will be in syndication.
Oh my God. Are we going to have a laugh track?
Yeah, we do have a laugh track, as you can hear.
Perfect.
Chris, you got anything else you want to say about this, or should we just go for the actual content of this episode?
I can contribute my what we learned week. Just to, you know, kick us off. Right now, theoretically, I'm in Europe.
Yeah.
So last week,
why don't you kick us off?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, it fucks you up because we're not coming back from a break this time.
Well, okay, Chris, you go for it.
Go
ahead and kick us off.
I learned that.
Why don't you start, Chris?
Okay. I learned that snow globes and croissants were both invented in Vienna.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good. Are you going to go to the National Snow Globe and Croissant Museum?
I think there is a snow globe museum, and yes, I already went.
All right, good. Congrats. I learned something about museums as well.
Okay.
The Ditch Witch Museum is in Perry, Oklahoma. Ditch Witch, the brand of backhoes and augers.
Why do they have a museum?
You heavy construction equipment that you rent to dig a hole. Ditch Witch at their headquarters in Perry, Oklahoma have a museum dedicated to the history of the brand.
That's
I downloaded
wild.
Their brand guidelines earlier today. It's 38 pages long.
Wow.
I went into a rabbit hole. And I should have been working on Tree Fort.
Oh, man.
You got one?
Well, yeah, I do. I learned something. It's a little random, but whatever.
Keep it on topic with the Ditch Witch and, and the Vienna croissants.
No, I learned that all of the trees that you see along the sidewalks in New York City are actually planted by the city. And in order to get a tree planted, whoever owns the property has to pay the city a tree fee. And then eventually, it could be years, they'll come and plant a tree. So if your block is looking a little bare, it might just be because the city haven't done their due diligence of planting their tree, even though the fee has been paid.
It's like Talib Kweli once said, for a tree to grow in Brooklyn, seeds must be planted.
Yeah.
And you have to call the city.
The city better start planting those seeds on my block.
That's right.
Anyway, that's what I learned.
All right. Well, without any further ado, should we jump on into what we learned last year?
Yeah, let's do it.
What we learned
last week.
We do have one last thing. I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think this is something that we were thinking about starting up this week.
This is your idea, right? We thought it would be a good idea to bring out a new segment. It's been a while since we had a new segment.
It's been a while.
You know, we need to fill time. So we're introducing what we learned this week.
Last week.
What we learned last week.
For short, WWLLW.
So, WWLLW. So, we changed the name of it right before this started. Yeah. So, it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah. What we learned last week.
Well, do you want me to tell you?
I think I'll put a sound effect under it, too.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's try it again.
What we learned
last week.
That sounded fucking amazing.
Okay, perfect.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's great. Should I go first?
Yeah,
talk
go
about
ahead.
what I learned last week?
You talk about what you learned, and then I'll throw my hat in the ring, so to speak.
All right. Well, last week, I learned how to ski.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah.
That's a great one to kick off the segment.
I know.
Hell?
It was pretty exciting.
Pizza hot dog or whatever they do.
French fries. I was never told to pizza or French fry. That terminology was not used, but really no terminology was used. Really, we just like went up and down the bunny hill a few times, and the instructor talked about basically, moving your hips, transferring weight, smoothly and doing big S's to slow yourself down, and you get the hang of it. It's kind of after you go down maybe 10 times, you kind of just, your body naturally will figure it out. And
what kind of like what is the most highest level you went to? Like, did you go all the way to the top to the double black diamond?
Hey, so I went all the way up to the top, but the way it worked was the very top also had a like a green trail, an easy trail that kind of went across the mountain back and forth. So it was a lot less steep. And then like, if you wanted to cut off, you could go down a blue one or a black diamond. I think the really, really treacherous one was closed that day. Cause it was a Monday.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't go down that
one. Dude, I went, honestly, even a couple of the green ones I went down that were steeper, I kind of towards the end of the day, I started eating shit because my legs were tired after 2 days of skiing and like, I'm still not that good. And I would fall for the second day. I only fell like one time at the very end of the day, but then I got up and fell immediately again and then fell a third time because like, I think I was just exhausted at that point. And I had to bail, but it was a lot of fun.
Like, I'm really glad that you decided not to do the snowboarding and skiing thing, because you were about to be like, yeah, one day I'm going to ski, and the next day I'm going to snowboard.
Yeah.
And that would have just been, you probably would have had a miserable time all around.
It would have been okay. So like the first day we were just on the bunny slope and it was fun for the first like three quarters of the day. And then that last part of the day, I had basically gotten it down and was ready for something more challenging. And instead of spending a second day on the bunny slope learning how to snowboard down the bunny slope, we were like, let's just
get off the fucking bunny slope.
Yeah, let's go to the mountain and actually like learn this one skill of skiing. And then the next trip, we can learn how to snowboard and spend, you know, 2 or 3 days doing that and getting that down. So that next time, if we want to travel to Denver or Utah or somewhere cool and make an actual ski trip out of it, because we just went a few.
You'll actually know how to do stuff. So you can show up the first day and start skiing. It's not like a learning thing the whole time.
Exactly.
But last week, it was.
Last week, it was.
That's what you learned. What did I learn this week?
What did you learn?
Well, let me tell you, while you were talking, I spent literally the whole time scrolling through my TikTok trying to find something I learned.
Did you learn how to bide time?
Yeah, I was, thank you for fucking doing that for me, but, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to come up with it as we go. And I haven't. So, what did I learn? What did we learn last week?
Did you learn anything from my tips? Maybe
I did. I learned from your tips to always bring an extra pair of shoes to the office.
That's true.
That is a great tip because if your shoes get wet, you'll have an extra pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I always keep an extra jacket at the office just in case it's a little cold.
Pretty smart. I keep an extra everything at the office. Now, this was, if you're following us on TikTok at Shishkin Productions or on Instagram at Sizzle Reel Gang, then you might have already seen this, but I learned this week stacking your panels in your timeline or your sequences.
So when you told me this, I was like, I don't understand what that means. And I had to go and like look at it. So try to visually explain or explain like, you know, this to people who are listening to kind of orient them.
So think about your timelines and how they have little tabs, kind of like a filing cabinet would, and they're all side by side horizontally, right? Typically.
Sometimes you go to like move the playhead and you accidentally click on the wrong sequence and you end up in a different sequence.
Exactly. Or maybe you're trying to click, you have like 14 sequences open, so they're not all displayed because you don't have enough screen real estate. So you're trying to scroll over and you accidentally X out of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just want to be able to see all of them at once without having to scroll all the time and hit that tiny little arrow and just hope that you don't fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit the little hamburger menu on the side of your sequence.
Yeah, the little three lines.
Exactly. You can go to
like panels and stack panels, or something panels, like that.
And then, yeah, there's an option for stack timeline. Hmm. And what that does is it stacks them all vertically, like one on top of the other, like a totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fit a whole lot more on there at once. You can see all your sequences at once. So for example, the way I was using this, we have a project where I'm pulling selects for 14 different videos at the same time, like 14 deliverables of the same project.
Basically, like someone will be interviewed and they're asked a ton of different questions. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be one sequence per question basically.
Yeah. So I'm just organizing the answers per question, but they were shot per person.
Right.
So in order to do that, it was a lot easier if I could have access to all 14 at once, because I'd go through one interview and pull 14 different questions, and instead of clicking through horizontally and scrolling all the time, I can just click in, drop it, click in, drop it, click in, drop it.
It's almost like you know how I think we've talked about before, that thing you call pancake editing, where you have two mm-hmm. sequences open at once.
Yep.
It's almost like a mega pancake.
It is.
Where you can only have one of them open at once.
Exactly.
But it, when you showed it to me, I was like, wow, that's actually a game changer for exactly the type of project you're working
yep.
on, where it's like one long interview and everyone's asked the same thing or whatever. Yeah. If you need multiple select sequences open at the same time, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Maybe it's a very specific like need, but yeah. when you run into it, it's perfect.
For me, what I learned was more of like a big picture kind of philosophical thing. So we had a couple slow weeks. Things are starting to ramp back up.
Mm-hmm.
But during those slow weeks,
this is actually what you learned 2 weeks ago.
This is what
I
learned 2 weeks ago and forgot. And
relearned it.
I relearned it. In a nutshell, take advantage of slow periods, mm-hmm. right? So like if you have like a little lull, like if you've been working, going like, you know, just going 100% for weeks at a time, like so long, and then suddenly a week comes up or 2 week period where things are really slow, it's okay to like chill for a second and recoup, you
yeah.
know. You don't have to like keep going at 100% all the time, you know. Now obviously if that period keeps extending, then you kind of need to start like hustling and finding shit.
For sure.
But if you've been hustling and like really just like working like crazy, like long hours consistently for a minute, it's all right to like chill for a week and just like just take a day off,
yeah.
take a week to yourself. It's okay. It's better actually to
yeah.
step away from it sometimes.
It's the same way where, you know, if you're, you know, going hard on a project all morning, you're 6 hours in and just like kind of hitting a wall, take a break. But it's that same idea on a macro.
Burnout is real.
Burnout, especially in our industry.
Yeah. So, you know, feel free to not work sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and know your worth and know, be able to gauge when you're starting to hit that wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a nice philosophical point to end on.
Yeah, I think we could all use a break. Last week, I learned that Jerry Springer was the mayor of Cincinnati for a year.
I had no idea. I knew that.
You knew that? Why was he the mayor? Why did you learn this?
Because,
extra follow-up questions.
Basically, because I was listening to a podcast, and it was Super Bowl week, so they're on Radio Row, where they have a lot of opportunities to have guests on,
yeah.
and Jerry Springer was one of them. And because Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl, the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, they were talking about Cincinnati. And Jerry Springer had like a whole political career before becoming Jerry.
For me, what I learned last week, it's like this is very like uplifting, but
okay.
I wrote keep at it, because you know, like we said earlier last week, we had that meeting with the Slam, and now it's like looks like they want to get the wheels turning on that podcast idea or whatever. And yeah, it's like we've been meeting with them for over a year at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Not like very consistently, just like once every couple quarters we will have a meeting and we'll just circle back and chat. We've pitched them a ton of stuff, and like this is the first thing that's finally kind of slowly getting off the ground.
Got legs.
Yeah, and it's something that they want to like help push on as well, which I think is cool. But
it's like that primordial fish slowly growing legs, getting on the land. It's crawling.
It's like
right
a
now.
Mud skipper.
Yeah.
But
a swamp bug,
Swamp bug.
But the thing that I was gonna say is like you gotta keep at it, right? Like sometimes, you know, you can't expect everything to happen right away. Like it's just not gonna, like when it comes to business relationships, it's just not always gonna happen right away. Some things, cool, they'll come to you and go, and this is a red flag phrase in my opinion, but they'll say, we're moving 1,000 miles an hour. Like we're just like, we're hitting the ground running, blah, blah, blah. When someone says that, that means you're about to get overworked and completely fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want ample preparation time. You don't want to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. That means what that means, in my opinion, that's like business slang for we're behind
yeah.
and we need to catch up quick
yeah.
or else we're fucked.
And we're probably already a little bit disorganized. That's how we got behind in the first place.
Yep.
So anything that we give to you is probably going to be yeah. a huge pain in the butt.
But ultimately, yeah, keep at it, right? So like if you form a relationship with someone, just that's it. Cool. You guys had a little meeting. Maybe right now is not the time, but stay front of mind. You know, follow up every month or every few months, and just stay there, you know, and then keep working. And eventually, maybe when the time is right, boom, it'll hit and something will grow from it. So you never know. I learned how to live stream. I learned how to do it. I think it's important. I think it's cool. Maybe one day we'll live stream a sizzle reel. Who knows? Well,
more importantly, we learned how to live stream from our cinema camera. Like,
yeah,
obviously we could live stream from an iPhone on Instagram or from our MacBooks, whatever.
Yeah.
But we learned how to actually set up a proper good live stream.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. I mean, maybe we should make, I don't know, just so much fucking maintenance. But if we get that content creator intern, maybe we can make a YouTube channel for the company and then just, I don't know. Maybe we could just live stream what's going on at the office. Just set up the camera.
Yeah, why not?
Who the fuck knows?
Live stream Arbino games.
Oh, that's pretty good. What'd you learn?
I learned, and this has nothing to do with production, but it is related to Brooklyn, where we're based. The Brooklyn Nets super team of Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant played a grand total of 16 games together over the last two seasons, over the two seasons that they were all on the same team.
Wow.
16 games. That's
16.
It.
16.
Out of a possible, what, like 120, 130, something like that.
Yeah, something like it. Yeah. Wow. So that's basically a tenth, something like a tenth or something like that of their games.
Pretty sad. I learned that Reading Rainbow is coming back.
Wow.
I don't think it's coming back with LeVar Burton, though. I think it's going to have like a bunch of 20 somethings.
I was going to say they should get Chance the Rapper.
Oh, that'd actually be pretty cool.
I feel like that's a strong pivot for him right now.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like a group of, I'm sure.
The Euphoria kids are going to host it.
The Zoom kids.
They should get the people from Euphoria. They should get Chance the Rapper and his wife to host it.
Yeah.
That would be fucking money.
It's coming back. And apparently when he had a Kickstarter a few years ago to bring it back, well, he ended up getting like sued by the station that originally put it on and they had to like settle. Awesome. And it's like, what? This dude is trying to raise money to teach kids how to read. Yeah. And you're like, no, this is illegal. This is our property.
America. That's
like,
America
that's
for you.
Such garbage.
Dumb as hell. What I learned last week, in the top 10 podcasts, I saw this on Twitter. I don't know how true it is, but in the top 10 podcasts, the top 10 most popular podcasts, the average time that one has been around, like the average so far lifespan of that podcast is around 7 years. So Sizzle Reel is only 6 years away from being in the top 10 podcasts.
Five and a half.
Wow. Yeah. So this reel is making waves.
Yeah. We got to really hope that all the other top 10 podcasts stop immediately. So they're not on year 13 when we're on year 7.
I learned that the New Yorker is the absolute worst source material for collages.
Oh, you were trying to make a New Yorker specific?
No. Just like, you know, I'll use anything as source material.
Too many words?
Not that it's too many words, it's just that, like, you know, there's, I don't know, the textures are not very nice. Any, like, you know, visuals that are in the New Yorker are just, like, just kind of bullshit, you know? I don't know. But anyways, that's what I learned.
Now, do you use, like, an Elmer's glue stick and, like, put it on construction paper? What does this look like?
Well, I use pretty nice canvas paper. I use, like, thick, like, almost like on, like, watercolor paper.
Okay.
I use that.
Yeah.
I'll use any type of glue sticks. I use a lot of different things. The other night when I learned this New Yorker bullshit, I was using a soldering iron and some solder as a medium. I was using Ziploc bags.
You're a renaissance man. You can do everything.
It's super fun. Also, like, really good, like, drinking activity too.
Collage, you know,
drinking with someone at home, start collage.
That's pretty cool. And now, what's the biggest collage you ever made? I feel like it'd be tight to do like
a collaborative collage.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I haven't gone too big, you know, probably standard, like, you know.
I think we need to make it a sizzle reel project. We need to make a giant sizzle reel collage.
We could do one like this.
No,
much.
Bigger. Like,
oh, really?
I'm talking like Guernica. Like the kind you have to walk around to like observe it, you know what I mean?
Wow. You need a bird's eye view. You got to get on the roof to see what it really says.
Yes.
Where are we going to put it?
We can put it anywhere because we can put it on some paper that rolls up. You know what I mean? So we should do pieces of it at a time. I think it would be dope.
I agree. I don't think we should roll it up.
No.
You're going to fuck it up. Yeah. Okay. We need some big thing.
Okay. We could frame it, I guess. I don't know.
Anyways,
that'd be pretty cool to frame it. All right, Chris, what'd you learn? Oh, let me go with what I learned.
Okay.
Do you want to go with what you learned?
I don't give a shit.
Mine sucks. That's why.
Okay. Well, then you should go.
Okay.
Mine's okay.
So we went and did the Sizzle Reel Extravaganza.
Sure.
And I'm all right at, we went to the driving range. I'm all right at hitting a golf ball. Sometimes it'll slice, sometimes it'll hook, sometimes it'll go straight, sometimes it'll go on the ground. But I'll make contact and I can get it going pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
However, every time after a few hits, my muscle on the inside of my forearm always hurts. And I'm always like, damn, dude, I can only hit the ball a few times. And then my arm starts to hurt. Well, I learned it's because I'm gripping the golf club wrong. So that's what I learned, is that you're supposed to put your left hand, if you're a right hander, right? You grip the club. Then your right hand, your pinky interlocks with the pointer finger on the other hand. Mm-hmm. And that creates leverage. And that way your muscle on your right hand isn't going to be doing too much pulling, and it's not going to get stretched when you strike the ball. So learn how to hold a golf club.
I thought you were going
to
say you have tennis elbow. That's what you learned.
Nah, no tennis elbow. Yeah. Golf forearm.
I don't know if I've ever swung a driver in my life.
I entered it twice.
I swear to God.
That's true. All right. Well, you know what? There might be another. You might be able to go mini golfing. That's not a driver. Whatever.
Dude, you can go golfing on the Oculus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a little more my speed.
Well, for my birthday, we're going to Top Golf. So
that's true.
Chris, close us out.
Well, look, you know, so I also learned that how to grip that last night, but I learned some more afterwards. All right. So the winner was Eamon, right?
Yes.
And he brought his friend Robbie, and they are both Irish.
That's right.
And we were, you know, drinking and talking, and I learned that Ireland is like a massive tax haven. I had no idea, but like, according to some lists, it's the biggest tax haven in the world. And, you know, like even more than all the Caribbean Isles combined. And I'm like, that's kind of, yeah, I had no clue. Well, I didn't realize it was such a good country for business.
Have you guys been?
No.
Oh, I've been.
I want to go.
Yeah, it's dope.
I've known that it's very good for startups. Ireland is great for, like, if you have a startup and there's a lot of incentives to move it to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Like they actually have programs that'll like support it. If you know, you can obviously you enter, like you sign up, you put in an application, right?
Sure.
I've been finding myself with a little bit more time to read. We are like kind of like, me and my wife Shannon are kind of in this like, reading about, you know, the racial history and reckoning of America. And I've just been stuck in that world for a long time and just been like really digesting like the racist housing policies of the United States for years, and just the sort of terrorism that happened, you know, over, you know, 70 years basically, that has sort of led us to where we are today, where we're sort of thinking that this is in the past and that we have moved on. But some of these, like, I reread the Ta-Nehisi Coates article, The Case for Reparations, which is awesome. And there's some, like, I had reread it. I was thinking like, oh, I already remember all this. But when I got to the end, I was like, I cannot believe this didn't click the first time. But it's like James Polk, you know, president, traded slaves from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Had never really knew that before. The other thing I learned was that Chicago was actually founded by a black fur trader. His French name, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but just like these little sort of like factoids of like, oh, you know, you would have think that somewhere in my education I would have picked up on this or heard, but it's like, well, nah, just
they don't really teach us that.
I was gonna say it's good that you brought up that education thing, because what happens is I feel like when we're just taught, like as kids forever, we're like brainwashed into, oh yeah, that was a thing of the past, but it all ended in 1960 something or whatever, right?
Yeah,
but
68. Yeah, the Fair Housing Act was passed.
The craziest part is that like every, like, okay, I'm 31 turning 32 this year, right?
Yeah.
Every black friend that you have, if they grew up in the South, their parents went to segregated schools.
Yeah.
That's no cap. Like, that's crazy. Like, when Braxton told me that, like, because he interviewed his parents, because he put together like a long kind of podcast or like audio documentary where he interviewed his parents.
Sure.
And when I heard that, it blew my mind, because I was like, damn, bro, I didn't even actually think about that. And that is insanity. Like, that we're not even... We're
like a generation removed.
We're not. Hardly. Yeah, we're barely even removed. Yeah. You know what I mean? It and obviously shit still happens today. So it's just nuts, man. America likes to concentrate on other places' problems, but maybe they should look in their own problems for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, if you teach people the actual history, it's harder to sell them on the propaganda.
That's a good fucking point. Wow,
there's
that was
just a lot to learn.
This was
still a lot to learn.
Today I found out that M. Night Shyamalan wrote the screenplay for Stuart Little.
What a twist.
What a twist.
What a twist. Did Stuart Little suck or was it good? I haven't seen it.
It was okay.
You put a mouse in a car and I'm there.
I'm pretty sure Michael J. Fox was the voice. I could be wrong. Yeah. I might misremember that. And there was a scene where they had
Michigan J. Frog.
Our RC
car.
No. Oh. Boats, RC boats on a lake. And I always thought that was so cool. I always wanted an RC boat after seeing that movie.
His name is Michael J. Fox.
I'm pretty sure he was in it, right?
It's just in my head, Mandela effect. I just didn't realize he had a J.
Oh, what?
I think Michigan J. Frog. That's who I think of. I don't know, man. I'm not a pop culture guy. You said Michael J. Fox. Is that his name, Engineer Will? All right.
Now I'm feeling gas lamp.
I'm not gas lamping you. I'm saying I didn't know
he's
that.
He's like one of my all-time favorite actors. That's his name, right?
Yeah. It says Michael J. Fox. I just don't think about him. I don't even know what he's been in other than, was he in Back to the Future?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know he's been
Family
in.
Ties.
I just saw E.T. for the first time last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Did not know. I did not know that. I thought that the fucking movie ended when they fly the bike in front of the moon. And
and
then that scene happened and I was like, this movie's short as fuck.
That's so early.
No, apparently E.T. almost dies. Had no fucking idea that happened. Uh-huh. That was pretty cool. So shout out E.T.
I learned that rooftop beekeeping is like a common thing in metropolitan cities. I guess trying to save the...
Save the bees.
Yeah. So
you have to.
There's a hive on top of the hotel that Lisa works at. Mm-hmm. She brought home some local honey recently because we were having, she was having some allergies.
Nice. That's what's up.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it to Chris to really zig what everyone else zags.
What?
Amy, what do you got for what you learned last week?
Last week I learned not to travel on your birthday. It's just no fun.
No fun.
I mean, there was really no other option, but I thought it would be like a little cooler than it was, and it really fucking sucked. So.
Well, I think traveling east on your birthday fucking sucks because it just goes by.
But you got to hang out in the Delta Lounge.
I will say I did, thanks to Jerm. He hooked it up, took me to the lounge. I had 3 Proseccos in my short time there, so nice and drunk for my next flight. But I will say, like, you guys made my birthday amazing. I know. You guys made my birthday amazing. It just it's not fun. I lost my entire birthday.
Yeah, but then you made up for it, you know?
Definitely. I always do.
Oh, yeah. And we finally, like on that flight, Amy and I had been in the same row with a seat in between us for every flight. A couple of them, no one sat down. A couple of them, you know, strangers sat down. But finally on that flight, we had Tyler in between us and it just felt like...
Oh, yeah. We finally had a full row of like our crew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice.
What I learned last week, this is thanks to Chris, is that some good kind soul made a up-to-date trivia map of Brooklyn. It's a map of Brooklyn that has color-coded all the different bars around and what nights they do trivia. Oh, I think it's something that has been missing for a while.
Yeah.
There's always like a random like list from a blog from like 2014 and you're like, well, I hope this is still up to date. But this trivia map is very cool. So shout out to Chris and I learned about that.
It's brooklyntrivia.wordpress.com.
Wow. There you go. And that's going to be another one that in 3 years we're going to be like, is this still up to date? Will, close us out. What'd you learn?
Yeah, last week I learned that in Terminal G...
T?
T.
Terminal T in the Atlanta airport, the only thing to eat there is a fucking TGI Fridays.
Yeah, I improperly called it a Chili's a couple times. Right. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Yeah, you mislabeled it. Because when you told me the story, I was like, oh, a Chili's doesn't sound that bad, actually. You kind of lucked out. TGI Fridays, no bueno. Not as good.
It was mid.
Not as good. TGI Fridays used to be like a destination spot.
Oh, dude.
In like the 60s or 70s in New York. Like it used to be like a bar where people would go. Right.
Yep.
I think like Alex Chilton went there.
Their
like
origin story
Big Star,
is very
I think,
interesting.
Like hung out at TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
But now it's just another
shitty chain
thing that has perished under capitalism, huh? Mm,
it sucks. It's the only thing in that terminal. I ended up being all right though. I got, 2 times leftovers. Tyler gave his leftovers to John, then John gave his leftovers to me. So it was like fine, honestly.
You got left leftovers.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Leftover overs.
Just a little snack before I got on the plane.
Well, it's especially surprising that it's the only thing there because the terminal that we came from,
it's amazing. There's everything.
Yeah. It was like being in like a shopping mall, food court, whatever. Yeah. Like you had your pick. It was whatever you wanted. So I was like in my head, I was like, oh, I'm sure it's the same over there, too. Yeah. No.
Now we know.
Well, I learned that the Chesapeake Bay was formed by a bolide that impacted the eastern shore of North America about 35 million years ago, plus or minus 0.3 million years.
A bolide?
Yeah. So, and also when I learned this, I learned what a bolide was. So I learned two things last week. A bolide is a large meteor which explodes in the atmosphere.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So Chesapeake Bay was formed by a meteor.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
What I learned last week, and you may have learned it too, is that FIFA are planning to debut a streaming platform called FIFA Plus.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Yep. And they're,
forgot.
Check this out. They're planning to produce 40,000 live games in 2022. We're going to stream 40,000 live games from 100 member associations across
the
six confederations.
That's the quantity over quality approach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it soccer, makes sense. There's just a lot of soccer going on. I'm surprised that there's that much to stream.
What surprised me was the way, I don't know if this is how you framed it or how they framed it, that they were trying to compete with Netflix.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were going to be like competing with.
No, they're not.
They're like, we're going to compete with Netflix and all that, HBO and all that. It's like, well,
those are different
in terms of being a streamer. Yes, I guess. But they're also going to include original documentaries and archived games that are dating all the way back to the 50s. So
that's cool.
It's going to be pretty nuts. Honestly.
It's FIFA though. Like I absolutely expect them to fuck it up or like get too greedy or just like do a poor job with it overall. But we'll see. Maybe I should hold my breath on it.
Hey, Gianni Infantino said, this project represents a cultural shift in the way different types of football fans want to connect with and explore the global game and has been a fundamental part of my vision from 2020 to 2023.
Why is it my vision, not our vision? Come on.
It will accelerate the democratization of football.
Shut
and we
up.
Are delighted.
How is that
to
democratization? That's literally a centralized version of football. Like, what? That is the opposite.
He's trying to say that you can watch anything from anywhere. So, like, you know, you could live in New York and you could watch like a football match that's played in Thailand.
Which I can already do that. Reddit streams, baby.
That's true. I mean,
sorry, I'm just being a hater.
I think they're going to run it into the ground personally. I don't think it's going to really work.
It's a great concept,
though. What's the price point? All that kind of stuff. We'll see. We'll see what they end up doing with it.
I feel like if it wasn't FIFA itself in charge of this, then I would be like, oh, this is dope. This is going to be cool. But now I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything FIFA's going to do, it's make money. So,
yep.
I do know that it probably won't be cheap, but we'll see. They should partner with MoviePass. That would be dope.
It's coming back.
What I learned last week, I knew that this existed because our friend Daniel Kuba had mentioned it before, but I had never used it. I learned how to use the Adobe Audition Remix tool. So if you have a song that is a minute and a half, but you really need it to be 2 minutes and 15 seconds. You can right click on the clip in Premiere, take it into Audition. You got to do like a multi-track session. And then in the essential panel. Yeah, essential sound.
Because the thing is, you can right click on that clip in Premiere too and just hit remix and it might have a similar function. I don't know.
This is just the
process I used.
And under there, there's two things. There's one called stretch and there's another called remix. I click on remix and you type how long you want it to be. It doesn't get it perfect.
Yeah,
it does it within like 5 or 10 seconds, wherever the cut points are good.
That's nuts.
It works pretty well. It depends on the song. Like if it's like a guitar driven song that has lots of breakdowns, probably won't work. But if it's like kind of a simpler drum pattern or
if it's just more repetitive, like an underscore or something,
exactly,
instead of you having to say it's like a, I mean, I don't know when you'd ever need this, but say it's like a 40 seconds, just basically drum thing, and you need to extend it out to 10 minutes, right? This one's probably like a one click solution.
Yeah. Yeah. It worked this week because I had a couple videos to edit that it just needed to be one song the entire time.
Yeah.
But I had like minute and a half songs and I wanted 3 minute songs. Worked great.
I mean, that is just, it's insane where AI is going. Mm-hmm. I know like we talk about it a lot, but it's just like, Jesus Christ. Good thing I'm addicted to editing. I love that shit.
Very addicted.
So fun. For me, what I learned last week has nothing to do with editing at all. never go to Fremont Street on a Saturday night.
Oh my God.
And I think I've done it in the past and it really wasn't that crowded, but this time, whoa.
Shoulder to shoulder,
no
good, dude.
No bueno.
And
human gutter.
Quite ratchet.
Keep your hands on your pockets. Yeah, I was like, I'm not. Vegas, at first I was like, oh, we'll go gambling. I was like, I'm not taking out any cash around here. No, fuck that shit.
The strip itself can be overwhelming, but Fremont was, it was an experience.
Another tip, if anyone's never been and you want to go, try your best to stay off the street level. When you're staying on street level, I mean, sometimes you got to do it, right? But the higher up you are, the better.
Yeah,
you
know, stay on the streets. Stay on the walkways.
I was going to ask Amy what she learned last week, but she ran away to go get some Prosecco or something.
What I learned last week was about Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of a rabbit hole situation, okay. But I learned that he's Canadian. But looking further into it, he was born in Beirut, Lebanon.
Okay.
His mom is English from Essex.
Okay.
His father is American. He's from Hawaii, of native Hawaiian, Chinese, English, Irish, and Portuguese descent. His paternal grandmother is Chinese Hawaiian. And his mom moved to Sydney, Australia. But somehow he is Canadian. I believe that he spent some of his time growing up outside of Toronto. So
I feel like, you know, Canada is the perfect amalgam of all of those things. You know what I mean? Canada is is very international. You know, yeah. You know, the US used to be the melting pot. I think that's sure. Canada now.
You
I don't
think so?
100%. I think the US is all fucked. No one wants to come here. That's pretty wild. I mean, Keanu Reeves, you know, it makes sense now why he's such a unique actor and such a global presence, is because this man is from all over the world.
He is. He is all of us.
It's funny that you bring up Australia, because what I learned last week is also about Australia.
Okay.
Specifically, it's about time zones in Australia. So Australia has a lot of weird time zones. We were just listening to Men at Work. So we got Australian shit going on today. Mm-hmm. But crikey, Australia uses a lot of fucking time zones. So and they're all they're broken up weird, and they're broken up in halves and shit like that. So I saw this on TikTok. This guy says, I'm going to play it back and try to read the captions. This guy basically says, during daylight savings time, it could be 6 p.m. in Western Australia, 6:45 p.m. in Nullarbor, 7:30 p.m. in the Northern Territory, 8 p.m. in Queensland, 8:30 p.m. in South Australia. And even though South Australia is further west than Queensland, it's later. And then 9 p.m. in the rest of the country, which I think is Sydney or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to put that into perspective again,
Americans could never. We can't count.
Well, Arizona's all fucked up. That's the one that...
They refuse to participate.
Yeah. Again, I'm going to stop it here so I can see these, the kind of bigger picture here. You can see this. I mean... 6 p.m. over here, 9 p.m. there, but then 7:30 and 8:30 in two places that are directly above each other.
I see.
8 p.m. in the place that's directly above 9 p.m.
This doesn't make any sense at all.
And then this little tiny sliver down here, it's 8:45, or sorry, 6:45. But you can potentially travel across one border and go from it being 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense.
Wild. And I guess a bonus what I learned is also about time zones. China only has one time zone.
Oh.
Because they think it's a better thing for
unified China. Yeah.
For unity. So everything's on Beijing time. So okay.
That sucks.
All the way west, your days are more
one China,
the sun
one time.
The sun is directly overhead at more 3 p.m. than noon. So
justice for Hong Kong.
I think that's actually pretty tight. I wonder if the U.S. had something like that, if it would be cool.
As long as it was based on wherever I live.
Based on New York.
I think it'd be okay. Right? But I would never want to live on the West Coast in that case. It'd get dark so early, wouldn't it?
I think it's the other way around.
Would it?
I think it would stay bright.
Oh, yeah. Well, huh. I got mixed feelings. I got mixed feelings about it.
I think it would be pretty tight, and I would probably hope it's set to New York time, and I'd move to the West Coast.
Yeah, it would stay light till 10 or 11.
It'd be fucking amazing.
I learned that there's a difference between acronyms and initialisms. So an acronym is something that is said like a word. For example, NATO, N-A-T-O. Okay. You don't say N-A-T-O, you say NATO.
Right.
That would be an acronym. Mm-hmm. An initialism is when it's something like FBI or CIA.
Like USA.
USA.
You don't say USA.
USA.
You should say, we should start saying USA. Yo, man, I'm from New York, New York, USA.
NYUSA.
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 So what's that called? An initialism?
An initialism.
Interesting. All right. Well, so I'll make sure never get that wrong again.
Yeah, of course.
If someone says it's an acronym, I'm going to call them out and ruin their moment.
Well, here's the thing. It could be one of those like rectangle square things where a square is a rectangle.
I see.
But
a rectangle
is not a square.
Initialism is an acronym, but or other way around. It is. It actually is. An acronym is an initialism, but initialism is not necessarily an acronym.
That's how I feel.
Damn. This segment is really good because people are getting to learn shit.
If they make it this far.
Look, here's my thing. Mine's very specific.
Yeah.
If you're trying to order AirPods in fucking Brooklyn, do not order the courier same day delivery.
No.
Just go to the fucking store and pick them up. Mm-hmm. Because today, my AirPods have not made it here twice. So 6 hours, zero AirPods. Damn. So after this, I have to go to the fucking AirPods store.
Gotta get FedEx next time.
So fucking annoying. All right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to be real quick. This is mine from last week. The one we missed. Okay. I learned that this is from you.
Yeah.
Chris said that I learned that Chris looks for cat cafes when he goes to new cities. That is what he said. He said, the way I like to discover new cities is to go to its cat cafe.
No, that's not how I phrased it. No. But when I go to a new city and like there's downtime or like nothing to do, I'll see if there's a cat cafe nearby because here's the thing. I like petting kittens, but where are you going to find kittens? But also, if I go to a cat cafe, if I go to a cat cafe in New York and I really like a kitten, I might end up taking that kitten home. But if I'm in Pittsburgh, then I'm not going to bring a cat kitten on the plane.
You're way less likely.
Less likely.
The other thing I learned that I actually learned for mm-hmm. this segment, it makes sense. Gas is expensive. I borrowed a car and I went to Philadelphia this past weekend mm-hmm. and the gas thing came on and I was like, oh, I guess I got to fill up. And gas was like $4.70. I was like, holy shit. Or $4.60 or something. I was like, what the fuck is
going
on? It's
like 2008 all over.
I mean, yeah. I was just out in LA last week and gas there is like $6.90. Ugh. So
what the fuck?
And really? You really have to drive out there too.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's very expensive.
So
out
see,
there.
This is big for me. I didn't even know this. I don't think about that.
Yeah.
No, here we got it.
Public
pretty
transportation, baby.
Yeah.
So do Lyft and Uber prices go up when gas goes up?
So felt so bad. I was out there and I've been going out there a couple times over the last 2 months, and I was out there the first time and it was you had to schedule your Uber like 30 minutes in advance because the number of cars was just significantly fewer on there. Like, obviously, I don't know how their whole system works. I don't believe the drivers have to pay for their own gas. It probably gets reimbursed. But what's that window like? Like, if gas suddenly shoots up, do you have the money to cover that until the company, you know, reimburses you?
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. There was one morning I was out there and I ordered breakfast. Mm-hmm. I was staying, Dip. I was staying with,
of course,
I was staying with Dip, and I ordered a bagel to Dipper Lago, which is what he calls his house. And
oh my God.
And I felt, this bagel's taking forever. I then get a call from my delivery driver. Their car ran out of gas 6 minutes away from the house. So too far to walk and pick it up. But I just felt, I was like, so the order just got canceled, but I just felt so bad. I felt like my hand, like, what do you do in this situation?
At least the guy had a bagel.
Well, and so here's the funny thing. I say this to Dip, and I was like, oh, they canceled my bagel. And he's like, well, okay, I can give you a bagel if you want one. He had bagels in his house and watched me order a bagel.
Chris, why don't you go with yours real quick, and then we'll cap it off with Brian's.
All right, here's the one from 2 weeks ago. I learned that Toyota, the car manufacturer, is headquartered in the city of Toyota, Japan, and was founded there, but is not named after the city. The city was originally called Kuromo, and it renamed itself after the company in 1959 because of success of Toyota.
It's like if New York City got renamed JP Morgan Chase.
Totally.
That'd be fucking nuts.
And my one from this week, I learned from Brian Mann. just earlier today, and it's that Billy Gunn, aka the Ass Man.
The Ass Man.
He has two sons who are currently wrestlers, and I don't remember their actual tag team name.
Their actual tag team name is they're the Gun Club.
The Gun Club. But
Austin and Colton Gunn.
But I guess they are pejoratively called the Ass Boys.
Yes. If you want to get under their skin, you call them the ass boys.
The ass boys. Brian, what'd you learn last week?
Yeah, so kind of LA and car related. I learned the highs and lows of valet parking.
Yeah.
The hotel I stayed at only had valet parking. Thankfully, my company was paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was $50 a day for parking.
Right, for overnight.
For overnight. Yeah. But then it's also like, man, valet, it's pretty great. They just valet bring it around.
Awesome. Yeah.
Like for every, but that expensive, plus you are tipping every single time you get the car.
Yeah.
But I had never really, I had had experience with individual valet. I last time I was out in LA, I got lunch with a friend and he neglected to tell me they only had valet at the, and you know, that is the thing about LA. You need to be prepared.
I mean,
so I was learning the highs and lows, the benefits, but also it does come at a cost.
I will say I used to work at a company called Pop Sugar in LA, and, shout out Pop Sugar.
Shout out.
I mean, I didn't have the greatest experiences there, but at least they helped me start my career, which I appreciate. They had just moved to Culver City, and it was right before, like Culver City now is a ton of shit there.
Yes.
But at that time, it was just like Sony pretty much, and that was it. And so they moved, like when they moved to their new office, I don't know even where they are now, but in Culver, the parking lot was like really small. And so the way that the company kind of made up for that was, you know, those spots were, I think, assigned for like the higher ups. But then everyone else, they hired a valet service and they used like the top floor of this parking garage that was down the street. And you could come to work and your car would just get valeted. It was fucking awesome.
That's
and
pretty
I was
nice.
Like, yo, that is talk about the highs of it. That's a high.
I last time I was at, so, you know, we would film the show at the BuzzFeed studios. And they have their own parking lot, which is great. But when I came the last time, the parking lot was very full, so I had to park in this particular spot, and they like made me reverse into it. And I don't drive that often, and I hate parking, and I hate when people are watching me park and are giving me notes about how to park, and they're telling me, "Well, you can back up some more." And the thing is, all these new cars,
cameras.
Well, they have these cameras, but also like new cars, like they don't trust you to actually drive. So like with this, and like whenever you rent these cars, you're like, oh, what crazy things is this one going to do?
Park assist.
Right. It's like, what thing is this going to let me? So like the one thing this would do, like if I ever like drifted over the center lane, my wheel would start to vibrate.
Oh man.
So like, yeah, anytime like I'm like merging, it's vibrating all the time. But I'm reversing into this parking space, and it has this thing where it has this the little, you know, it has the camera,
right.
But it'll also beep if you're getting close to something.
Yeah.
And then you get too close to the thing, it just abruptly just locks in your brakes.
Oh my God, really?
So I'm just slowly reversing, and there's a fence there, but it just like get the, you know, slam the brakes on, it starts like, I get like that loud high pitch, like that kind of cranking, and it's like I've hit something, but I haven't. It's just the car not allowing me to move anymore.
And then the guy's like, "You got room? Come on back." And you're like, "I wish I fucking could."
I was like, "No, I literally."
The robot says no.
The computer, the car won't let me. The car will not let me.
Hey, you know what? That's why I don't own a car. I mean, that's not why. It's because it would be a giant waste of money right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one day I'll get one, and you know what it's going to be? Rolls Royce.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm getting one.
I thought you had a sponsor lined up.
Oh, I wish, man. Rolls Royce. This. Check this spot out, man. We got you.
Crypto.com's their lease on our stadium, on our arena, our podcast arena. It's running out soon. So Rolls Royce,
Crypto.com's monthly payments have been fluctuating due to the Ethereum values.
What I learned last week was about the Appalachian Mountains. I learned that. I learned that.
Hide your cousins. Chris is coming.
I learned that they're originally formed like when the supercontinent Pangaea was still a thing, and that mountain range also, like, you can see remnants of that range in Morocco in Africa and in the Scottish Highlands as well. And that the mountains, obviously the elevation is much lower now, but they used to be as tall as the Rockies or the Alps.
Wow.
Yeah, but they've been eroded over half a billion years.
Chris, wow. Chris the geologist. Retro, you got something you learned last week?
That's deep. I just started. Oh, learned?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like just thinking about. I'll come back after you.
Okay, you want me to go? All right. Okay.
I can go.
So, what I learned is pretty local, but I learned that Brooklyn Comedy Collective is right down the street from here. And
they do a lot of really cool stuff. They have open mic nights. They have improv classes. They do sketch comedy. They do a lot of really great stuff. Mm-hmm. And their space is really cool. They have a really cool stage area, you know, and it's a pretty big room. It's a nice room. It's a long room. It's kind of weird. But they have a bar, and it's amazing. It's really cool, and it's nice to see that there's, like, a comedy space that's Bushwick adjacent, because I feel like a lot of the comedy spaces all end up being in Manhattan or maybe towards like
downtown Brooklyn,
but the downtown Brooklyn ones are bad. But like, you know, it's cool to see that there's something here. So maybe that'll inspire me to go out and see some more comedy.
Yeah.
Maybe meet some people, try to get them on the show, or maybe, you know, I don't know, write some sketches, do some comedy shit. I think that'd be kind of fun. Hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so Retro, you had enough time to think of what you learned?
No, because I was actually listening.
Well, what's the one? What's the one that you said right before we started?
Throw me. Oh, because I thought you were. Oh, so yeah. So I learned that even if
this is why I told him to write it down.
Even if you're not. Well, I had one, but I was thinking more of like what kind of knowledge I gained instead of what did I learn. So long story short, I'm overthinking it. I realized that even sometimes when you feel like you're not close to somebody, they've probably taught you some things that you forever internalize. So like, I don't have the best like rapport with my dad. But I was just thinking in the car randomly about just like little principles that like he instilled in me that I like live and die by, even though we're not like really buddy buddy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't know. I was just like, man, that's crazy. Or if you just think about like your environment, or, you know, sometimes like there's a whole conversation about like toxic masculinity and stuff, but there's also things within like just being a guy that is like a certain principle of being a guy that makes you be a better guy.
I think you kind of just got to the core of what we learned last week as a segment. It's the fact that you're always learning from everybody.
Yeah. Even if you don't know it.
Like you could walk down the street and you could see someone trip and fall and you learned, don't trip.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Don't step right there.
Don't step there. You know what I'm saying? Watch your step. Yeah. That's what you learned, you know? So always be learning.
Yeah, so I learned that opossums are the only known marsupial in North America. Also, their body temperature is so low that rabies is virtually, it's almost impossible for the virus to live in opossums. So,
wow, it's two things.
Yeah,
but I like that. They're the only known marsupial. That indicates that there might be unknown marsupials.
There are known knowns, unknown unknowns.
That's a throwback to the debut episode. Yeah. I think that was the first episode of Sizzle Room.
Yep.
August 2nd. So I was watching a soccer game. Scotland were playing playing Ukraine. And Scotland lost. Scotland are now not going to make the World Cup. They've missed it. I learned that the last time Scotland made the World Cup was 1998, which was the first World Cup I watched and the first soccer game I have a memory of watching on TV was Scotland versus Brazil. So the last time Scotland were in the World Cup, that was my first ever soccer game I watched.
That's kind of crazy.
Full circle. So kind of weird. So hopefully Scotland can make it next year when it's in the US, and then maybe I'll go see them play. Who knows? Flora, Will, who wants to go next?
I can go.
Okay.
So this week I learned that it is not my fault that the garbage men have not been picking up our recycling. I called 311 and told them about it, and they were surprised. So it's not my fault, and I'm doing everything right.
You thought it was your fault?
I thought there was some type of rule we just weren't getting or something. We tried everything.
Have they been picking up other people on your block and not you?
Yes.
Oh, are you guys putting it in the right kind of bags?
See, and this is the kind of thinking I was going through as well. Yeah. You know, blaming myself, but yes, everything we're doing is correct.
Weird.
I know.
Huh, I don't know. We'll go out there sometime and we'll see, you know, when they're coming through.
They might be on strike of some sort.
Just striking just one strike. Building.
Yeah. Maybe the landlord is disrespectful to them or something. Who knows?
Could be.
Actually, kind of leads nicely into what you were going to say. You said something about a landlord.
Right.
What you learned last week.
Do you guys know what ring dings are? Like the host, maybe.
Yeah.
I learned that my landlord twice a month, he has a box of four boxes of ringdings delivered to his house.
So he's just munching on ringdings.
Is he a big person
or reselling them? Maybe
he's a pretty healthy looking ex Wall Street guy.
Maybe he's just flipping ringdings.
Well, I know one time, like a nutrition professor or someone like that did an experiment where he only ate Twinkies for a month and he ended up losing weight because he did it strictly on calories in and calories out. So
all he ate was Twinkies?
Yeah.
Not anything else at all?
I mean, maybe he probably had like a multivitamin or something, but
that's nuts. Maybe I'll try it.
No, that's a bad idea.
No, yeah, don't do it.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun thing for Sizzle Reel to track.
I mean, I'm not going to stop you. I just advise against it. I learned that the second largest city in New England is a town named Worcester. Worcester, Massachusetts. I went there for like a weird pop punk concert, like festival. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really enjoy Worcester. It's a weird town. It was very strange because it was a weekend. It was like a Saturday. And it's supposedly the second most populous city. But there was like no one out doing anything. Like the downtown was weird and dead. Even though it seemed like there should be businesses and like stuff happening. Nothing. Nothing.
You're talking about Worcester, Mass?
Yeah.
Why do you say Worcester?
Because it's fun to say Worcester.
That's a Worcester, right?
Yeah, it's spelled W-R. Yeah, it's spelled W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R.
I thought I was being gaslit. I thought there was another place literally called Worcester. And no. I was like, oh shit, he's talking about a different place.
Well, look, if you go to the Wikipedia and you see the way that it's supposed to be pronounced, it says W-U-U-S. That's woo.
Is that woo? Is that woo?
I guess it could be woo.
Worcester.
Either way, Worcester. Sorry if you're from Worcester. Actually, no, I'm not, because I fucking hate New England. I hate Boston. You're all annoying as fuck.
Damn. Chris is hating out here.
It's a terrible. Every time I go to Massachusetts, I'm like, why? Why do people? This place sucks. It's terrible.
I think you guys have funny accents, and I like those. And I like Duncan. But
Duncan's great.
He's mostly right. What I learned last week. And this is, it's not something I necessarily learned, but it's something that was cemented. I was like, man, I think the best way to do like a fun, like my favorite thing to do for a birthday is, rather than have a party, is to do a group trip. It is the most fun thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, obviously not everyone's going to be able to make it all the time, but you have to take the bad with the good, and the good far outweighs the bad. It's so nice to rent a house and to let everyone like show up and have a good time, and the key is to be like, don't feel pressured to reciprocate any of this. All you need to do is show up.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Like, then the experience becomes a good time. And that's just how I like to do it.
I mean, we've done what, like six of these just in the past few years, and not a single one has been a bad time. So I learned that Australia is wider than the moon, like across.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's about 370 miles wider.
The moon's that small?
I mean,
oh, you're just talking like straight up diameter. You're not talking like circumference.
No, diameter. Okay, cool. Definitely not the entire circumference.
I thought you were saying if you roll Australia up in like a ball,
that would be pretty wild.
It'd be a tiny little moon.
I mean, maybe Russia could go all the way around.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look,
I haven't done the math.
I don't know anything about the moon, but I'm glad that you learned that.
You got a chicken on the moon.
I did put a chicken on the moon earlier. And if you're wondering why we're doing this segment now, it's because we don't want to embarrass ourselves in front of our esteemed guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, we didn't tell him to learn anything. What I learned last week was that I don't think I've used this one yet.
Okay.
Luna is the most popular dog name.
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't know that. You picked for Chris Lists, which is a segment we do on TikTok. You picked. You said guess what the most popular dog name is. I think Engineer Will said like Sparky or something like that. That was not on the list.
Not Sparky.
Pepper. That was what it was. Pepper. It was.
That's a cute name though.
A good name, but it wasn't on the list. Intern Flora said Bella.
Bella,
which was number two.
Number two. Yeah.
I said Luna after Jo Nana's dog. And that was number one.
Shout out, Luna. Shout out, Jo Nana.
Shout out, Jo Nana.
All right, so
you have a crazy one.
Yeah, as you know, on what we learned last week, it does not have to be post-production related, and mine is certainly not. So I went to New Orleans for the first time last week, and I learned about their above-ground graves. Now, I knew that those existed, but I didn't know this part, and it's a little morbid, but it's just crazy to me. So, because like when a body goes in, it only stays there for 1 year and one day, because it gets so hot and humid in New Orleans that the sun bakes them down into like basically nothing. Oh, so within a year, another body goes in, like they just get reused and reused. The family has to own the plot.
There have been like a trigger warning on this section?
Whatever.
You only
need to own one plot though. It's not a big deal.
Is it natural cremation basically?
It basically is. Yeah. It's like a long form of cremation.
That's insane. You know, we should have John Rosebro to talk about that. John Rosebro used to be a mortician. I think.
Didn't they do this in Egypt like for a whole bunch of years?
They probably
pyramid
did.
I think that was aliens. I'm gonna get to mine. I was between two of them. Omakase or UK rates? Which one do you want to hear?
Oh man, Omakase.
Omakase. Yeah. I'll tell you UK rates. It's the UK rates suck. Omakase. Omakase. So I've learned that you need to, when you're going to dinner with the friends and you want to like surprise them and take them to a nice dinner, you kind of have to like ask them about what food they like. You can't just take them to something you like.
Sure.
I had a friend in town and he was like, we should go get some ramen. And he's like, I got an hour and a half free, 2 hours free. Like, let's get some ramen. I was like, I don't really like ramen, but how about omakase? And he just didn't know the word. And so he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I was like, great. Like, it's on me. I'm going to find a nice place. We'll go. It's going to be fucking amazing. Omakase, obviously sushi tasting menu, right? We get there and he's like, wow, this place is really cool. Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good. He's like, so wait, is this sushi? And I was like, yeah. After the first plate comes out and he doesn't like sushi.
Oh, no.
So basically, I ate everything, but he did his best. He struggled through it. And I was like, Dan, I appreciate you even going for it. Like, you got to do the experience. But he would take like half a bite of the sushi and then put it down and kind of like take some of the fish out of his mouth and stuff. And he apologized to the chef. He was like, I'm sorry. I just like I'm not a sushi guy, but the artwork is incredible.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, check. What I learned is check the person's diet before you surprise them with dinner.
I feel like that's something you should have learned earlier. I know.
32 years and I finally got it. Finally picked it up.
If it makes you feel better, I don't care for sushi. And I verified that. Trust but verify. I've done it a bunch of times in the States and not liked it. And then I was in Tokyo not liking it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure at this point,
it's
never
going
to sink in with me. Yeah. That's right. I have what did you learn last week? That's, by the way, next week it'll be Splitter. Trust me. When you guys like, it'll
be Splitter. When we really dig into it.
Yeah. There's not a lot to dig into, but it's crazy. I've had a Wirecast license. So Wirecast is what I learned last week heavily. Wirecast is basically using your computer to act as a switcher. So you can bring in different sources. You can record directly, locally. You can record ISOs without a problem, as long as their internet connection works. It was originally meant, like a lot of other tools, to be used on premises, but they've got a method that I can have somebody call in, just like I'm calling into your show right now in that regard. And the thing is I don't think it's got the strongest user interface. And I know a little bit about user interfaces. You're using Premiere, right?
Yep.
That's your editor choice. So I'm a master trainer for Adobe. I teach the trainer classes.
Jeff, yep. before you get into that, the Premiere tip, I have a question about Wirecast. Are you going to be using
Wirecast? I'm not doing the Premiere tip.
Are you using Wirecast to do the show with you and AV Guru? Or was that
I'm doing using Wirecast to record myself and Michael.
Yeah.
So we can immediately when we're finished, I'm doing a live switch between us. So the visuals aren't totally boring. I've got lower thirds that pop up. I've got the Reddit page up.
Jeez,
that's really cool. I've got this all built as a template. It's pretty goddamn cool.
So you're going to be hosting and directing and producing at the same time, basically?
Yeah, but it's just the two of us, man. It's just like when I get bored, I know to be on a new show.
Yeah, fair enough. I feel like that's a lot of work. But hey, I'm excited to see it.
Well, you'll tell me if it sucks. You'll tell me if it sucks.
I will.
I don't care, man. Like I've had a lot of people tell me my work is shit, and I'm okay about it.
I think it's gonna be fucking sick. I know personally for me, I would get overwhelmed trying to do all that at once.
I have a Stream Deck set up, and I just go, we need to be on this, we need to be on that, and it's just done. The thing is I learn, I have a maxim in life, and the maxim is basically, it was from my dad. The day you stop learning is the day your brain starts dying. Uh-huh. And it's a straight maxim that anytime I've encountered something and I go, fuck, I don't want to learn that. An alarm goes off in the back of my head and I go, oh shit, I have to go learn that. Even Absolutely. If I'm not an expert. So I teach train the trainer classes for Adobe. I'm a master. I wrote a book. I got an Adobe Press book over there that you should never buy or read at this point because it's like 8 years old and it's all outdated. I do the same thing for Blackmagic. Yeah. I do the same thing for Avid. I do the same thing for Apple. I really know these tools. And when I was running into problems with Wirecast, I said, I better learn how this goddamn tool works. And so I spent a day going, okay, and watching a bunch of tutorials and learning a couple things and bringing some of my existing knowledge in. But I think the beauty of this segment, what did you learn last week, is the respect in your lives that it's important to keep learning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's legit, like the reason we started the segment, because it was like, man, I feel like every week we learn something cool, but we just don't have a...
We don't mention it.
Yeah, we don't mention it.
You don't have a forum for it. And I think that I don't care what it is. I had no idea what omakase, is that
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I've never heard the term before, and I'm wiser for it. Thank you.
Oh, dude, thank you. Okay, so you said you had one premier tip that
I'll come up with. I can do this to the sun goes down. You want the stupidest premier tip that's genius?
Yeah, we do stupid really well here.
Yeah, stupid is our thing.
You know the meters in Premiere? They're those beautiful gradients.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever notice that the same exact meters in Audition aren't stupid gradients?
Mm-hmm.
You can right-click on the meters in Premiere and turn off the gradient. You can right-click on the meters and say, you're showing peaks, show me the valleys as well. So now you're seeing the range that your mix is running. And so instead of Premiere, when I have somebody who knows nothing about audio, I go, look, all you need to do is put voices in the green and put background stuff in the yellow, and you're not great, but I can at least listen to your damn mix.
Yeah.
Like that's you've never used a tool before, here's how to approach audio. Well, I remember when Premiere got its paint job, they put these beautiful smooth meters, and for the record, in Audition, you have to turn on that smooth meter, that gradient meter. So that's just one. Like I could do this. Here's another one for you.
On the topic of Premiere, like kind of making stuff look pretty. I know Chris has a lot of problems with the new export window. He hates the new export window.
I just think it's too many clicks to get to do the same exact thing that you used to do.
And that's another one of those issues where it seems like they just beautified it, you know?
Okay. So, all right. This is going to go too long and I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you the real answer here. When you design software, you have a problem. The problem is really straightforward. You have to make it easily ingestible for new users. Otherwise, new users won't use the tool and they'll say the tool is stupid. They never go, I need to learn more. They go, the tool is stupid. It's not intuitive. The phones have made it worse. So it used to be when you would throw a When you want to throw a clip on a timeline, Premiere, you'd have to create a sequence and choose from like 9,000 things. And then Adobe just took a page out of Apple's book, throw a clip on the timeline and it'll go, do you want me to make it like the clip? And because Adobe didn't want to be Apple, they said the default button says leave it alone, not switch to the clip. On export, people look on that export and they're totally overwhelmed. Okay, now I'm going to get into real heavy duty with you. I don't export H.264 out of Premiere because it's too slow. And if I do it, I'm doing something a little bit more advanced in the workflow. So here's the quick button workflow to work faster, getting faster exports in Premiere. Change your sequence codec to being ProRes. Render as you go. Now you can tick the box that says use previews as you export. So every time you take a phone call, every time you hit the head, you're rendering in the background. Yep, you're building a lot of garbage files and they're huge, but when you go to export, everything will go out faster. Now, if I'm just doing quick crazies for clients, I'm gonna use the crappiest version that comes out with the words to the client, because it's gonna be watermarked. Hey, this isn't the final version. This is just an approval version. And it burns the name of the duplicated sequence for the client into that version. So there's no accidentally somebody goes, oh no, man, we're not going to pay you. I'm just going to post it on YouTube, or it's good enough. Don't do the color work. Then my final work is all something with a different level of compression. If you want your real homework, or we can phone in this in at some point, there's something called constant quality compression that the Mac version of Premiere can't do. Shutter Encoder for free can do. The PC version, you get a free tool that can add constant quality, because none of us care about how big the file is. We care that it's perfect, so the next thing that's going to touch it isn't going to chew it over. Constant quality compression says keep the quality constant. And Chris, that dialogue box at the end, it really only has one thing for me, which is export.
Yeah,
with previews, get it out of Premiere, use Shutter Encoder or something else like Handbrake that's constant quality. I get a guaranteed high quality file that gets handed off to the next step.
That's good to know, because I mean, like, I'll send a media encoder, and that's like that's the UI that I prefer, that I'm used to. And maybe
that's cool, man.
Maybe I'm just being an old man, and I don't want to change. But yeah. I just, you know, it's just something that's
You're
been
just like everybody
lately.
Else.
Exactly.
I know so many people who feel exactly like you do, and I do to a degree. I just, they're not going to change it back, man.
I know.
Apple
I know.
Going to make Final Cut 10 back like Final Cut 7.
I always like to say that it's an editor's God-given right to complain, because that's like that's what we do all the time. It's just sometimes you just have to complain about stuff.
Look, for the record, when it comes to exporting, I barely pay attention to that shit. I just get that shit out. And then, look, the final version, I'll make sure that one's exported right. But everything to up that I'm sending as like V1, V2, it's low res, it's whatever. I don't really care. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to get that shit out quick and not upload a file that's
too
big.
I'm right with you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why I'm rendering as I go, though, man, because then all my exports are fast.
Yeah, it's my goal. Look, let me tell you my actual goal is to never have to fucking edit anymore. I really, editing is great, but it's so, it like, I'm so over it. I'd rather just like produce and kind of oversee stuff and do like big picture things. But yeah, I'm still, after this, I'm going to have to go edit. So I'm stuck. I'm still doing it. You know, it is what it is. I wrote down for you, more prepared to shoot in a studio. So what is that you learned? I know you kind of went through it, but why don't you give us a little nutshell?
Okay, so having a Zoom mic on and having it, placing it somewhere in the room to capture all audio no matter what, hitting up shooters last minute to see if anyone's around, and if anyone wasn't around, just being confident and just making sure I got the shot, which I did. I think I was worrying too much, because I'm just naturally an overachiever, and I just want to make sure I cover all my bases.
He's naturally an overachiever.
I am. I feel like I got to do way more than I should, and a lot of people would just be like, nah, you're good. Like, you got what you needed.
I'll go next with mine, because it's sort of film related, and I know yours is, I don't know what yours is. It might be. Who knows?
It's somewhat.
You didn't tell me. You just told me write down a keyword.
Yeah.
You never tell me. You just make me write down a keyword. For me, I wrote down Shot Deck. There's a website called shotdeck.com. Deck, you can pay $100 for a year, and it's basically a big old database.
Sounds reasonable.
It's really good if you are, if you need visual references for like decks or for like inspiration and ideas for cinematography. Pretty much it's this gigantic database where they have hundreds of thousands of shots. It says over 318,000 shots from films to pick from. And they have everything tagged by keywords, by genres, colors, interior, exterior, aspect ratio, time period, time of day, format, composition, lighting, shot type, frame size, lens size, number of people in the shot, gender, age, ethnicity, who shot it, any of this, and it's got all keywords. So for example, if you type in eye and you say an extreme close-up of an eye at 2.39 aspect ratio, it gives you all of these different shots to pick from. And when you pick one, it'll tell you who directed it, what movie it was from, who edited it, what the production who the production designer was, who the costume designer was.
This is pretty wild.
What the set was on, like if they were in a, like this one says it was in a car that was moving and they're sitting in the driver's seat, where the story's located, where they shot it. It gives you so much information. And it's really an incredible kind of like database.
It's great for inspiration, for reference images, for kind of just deciding how you want to maybe frame a shot.
Exactly.
Or like what kind of lens you want
to
use.
To me, it's really great for pitch decks as well. Like if you're trying to convey to a potential client, like how you see this being shot, you just find what you're looking for on shot deck. And from there, you can fill your deck with these shots.
It's easier to show than tell the client. Right.
And then when the client is seeing award-winning cinematography as like the reference, of course they're going to like it, you know? And then when you deliver them whatever you shot, they're going to be like, what the fuck is this?
This isn't what we talked about.
Yeah, but shotdeck.com, check it out. It's actually pretty cool. Chris, what did you have?
I learned that the pilot for Reno 911 was basically concepted and shot in like 5 days. So the way that it happened, a bunch of the State alumni, so the State was like a comedy group, or maybe it was a show as well, but they were filming a different pilot, and they had been working on it for like a year, and a month before it was supposed to be due, they found out it was going to be canceled. So they had only spent half their budget, and they basically asked if they could use the other half of the budget to film another pilot, and they filmed Reno 911.
There you go. They filmed one of the greatest shows, one of the greatest sketch shows ever made. Yeah, Reno and that the State are everyone who doesn't know the State. That's like Michael Ian Black, basically everyone from Reno 911.
Yeah,
but, yeah. Ken Marino, David Wayne, Michael Showalter, the people who did like Wet Hot American Summer.
Exactly.
All of those guys.
I learned that they're in Grand Central Station. There is a tennis court. I don't know if it's advertised or I don't know exactly how to get to it.
Fourth floor.
You
rent the court. You got a giant window. I've always wanted to play there.
Have you been there before?
No, I've just seen pictures and videos, but I've always wanted to play there.
You got them New York secrets.
I got those New York secrets, man. If you guys want more New York secrets, sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. What I learned last week was just this website called sketch.metademolab.com. In a nutshell, it animates drawings. It has a bunch of pre-built animations for your drawings. So if you draw something, you can draw it on paper, you can draw it in Photoshop, you can draw it in Illustrator, whatever. You upload the PNG. You just tell it, I guess you tell it where the hands are and all that stuff, so it does the rig, and then you can pre-apply all these animations to it. Seems like a pretty interesting little program to animate without knowing how to animate.
Wow, well, that was so much fun. I learned so much.
Yeah, dude, I can't believe how much I learned this year and then forgot.
That's only half of it, too.
Ah, that's wild. Yeah,
next week, there will be another episode with everything else that we learned.
These might be the first two episodes I actually listened to, just so I can remember everything I learned.
Yeah, we should make a supercut of it because this is quite long and I think that we could really condense it and make it like under a minute.
Yeah, that's fine. No one's
maybe
listening.
You can do that when you get back from Europe.
Totally.
Where can the people find us?
We are at SizzlereelGang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzlereelGang@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And of course you can send us a text or give us a call.
Yep.
The Sizzlereel cold line. It is 332-333-4361.
Call in, leave a message, send a text, and go to SizzlereelGang SizzlereelGangthewebsite.com to see dates when we will be playing in Idaho.
Yes.
We have one more live show coming up, so I'm going to redo the entire website. That's what I like to do.
Can't wait.
Okay, goodbye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.